I'm just going to jump right in, guys. I got an exciting message, and for those of you who don't know, we're going to have a little barbecue afterwards, so let's get up to the nice weather. Okay, so I find something strange in this world that we live in. Sometimes you look around and you see certain people, Bruce, living in what you would call the promises of God. They live in this life and life abundantly type of place. And then you see other folks, maybe even in the same family, who just can never seem to break through something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody at all? Over here, blessed. Over here, confused. Over here, blessed. Over here, almost just can never get ahead. Stuck on a treadmill. And so you know what it leads people to believe? And if you're listening online, I know you've thought this before. God must love them more than he loves me. Or ready? I must be doing something terribly wrong. Come on, anybody? He's jumping in the deep end quick today. Yes, he is. Let's go swimming, shall we? It led me to believe things that were not true about the Lord our God. It led me to believe things that were not true. So if one person walks in blessing and another person does not walk in blessing, what can we deduce? If you want to walk in Makarios, that's the word blessing in Greek, blessed, full of God, your life overflowing, life and life abundantly. I have a few suggestions today. Would you like to hear them as to how? Good. Let's do this thing. God's promises, it's not about you at all. You can get in the way and you can not work them, but they're really not about you. The enemy will get you to think that, Marie. But you remember when you used to, not for you because you still, anybody? Oh, we're interested. Good. I'm glad to see this. We pray this, guys. Let's put it simply. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The goal, right, while you're here and still alive, that means you still got work to do, by the way. You don't get to retire from the kingdom of God. That's another hotline we'll talk about. But is to bring heaven, his will done on earth as it is in heaven. So today we're going to call this message, On Earth as in Heaven. Okay, so the goal is, how do we get on earth as it is in heaven? How do we get into my house as it is in heaven? My marriage, my finances, my friendships, anybody? My career. Because guys, you don't just get saved to wait. This is Jesus, ready? This is my impression of not real Jesus. Hey buddy, if you choose to believe in what I did for you and make it real and follow me, you don't have to worry about the afterlife. Good? Yes, absolutely, Jesus. Be my Lord. Save me. Savior. Okay, see you later. And you're stuck down here to what? Wait to go to heaven? No. For years in church history, I think we've erred. We sing about when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But that's not what it's about. That's the end of the race, absolutely. But you got a race to run, man. And your job, in my opinion, is to bring on earth as it is in heaven. In your neighborhood, in your job, in your marriage, etc., etc. So I'm just pumping you up for this, guys. It's not just about that, guys. It's not just about waiting. So I want to explore some of God's promises today. There's so many, guys, that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I think a good teacher does. Show you how to learn and say, go learn. Because education should not be about facts. It should be teaching you how to learn, correct? Yes, see? That's our education system. I don't want to, blind regurgitation means nothing. But if you know how to go get those answers and get motivated to do so, that's going to bring breakthrough, okay? So, number one, I was thinking about something today. We serve a person. We don't serve a church. We don't serve a denomination. We don't serve a religion. By no means did God die to give you religion or church. By no means. In fact, we worship a man. His name was Yeshua. He lived in a place called Nazareth. That's where he was born, right? No, Bethlehem is where he was born. Screwed that one up. Good thing it's not Christmas. Long story short, when Bruce laughs, I laugh. We don't worship a system, right? I want you to think about something, listening online. Buddha never said, follow me. He said, follow the wise teachings. Muhammad never said, I'll connect you to God. He never said that at all. He said, here are some rules, here are some things, but that's a separate thing. No one ever said, follow me. Did you know that? Come on, anybody? No one ever said, follow me, but one man. Jesus. He's the only one, the only system that ever said, follow me, I'll do it. Furthermore, he didn't actually say, this is where Jesus is the only one who ever said this. I'll go first. I'll make a way. I'll do what needs doing for you. Not you. Not you do it, Donna. Me do it. And you follow me. And you get to be where I am. It's the only system. And choosing to believe that what he said is true and what he said is right, that is absolutely what saves us. But then we have these promises. Now here's where I'm at. And I know that was all preamble. Being saved is a one-time deal. Shaner got saved. He's never going to be more saved. or less saved. What about when I... More saved or less saved. Nothing you confess will make me love you less. Right, Val? It's right on the sign out there. Saved is a one-time deal. But walking into God's promises and bringing blessings and his will on earth as it is in heaven is a process that keeps going. And it's staying in the place of his will. And that's where the presence and his blessing's done. So listen, I know. We get adopted into the family. This is the metaphor we're going to ride the whole day. Dad goes to the orphanage, sees Sandy, says, come home with me, be my daughter. Comes and lives in the family of God. When you use your will to believe that, boom, that happens. But living a heavenly life is step two that a lot of people don't get to. You see what I'm trying to say? And so I asked you a question. You asked me a metaphorical question. Why do some people seem to be so blessed and full of life and joy and blah, 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 and other people don't? Well, here's the problem. They can still be family members of God. Don't doubt that. That's none of your business, in fact, whether they're saved or not, really. But they maybe haven't appropriated how to live as a member of God's new family. Here's how I say it. When I was just naturally born, my first name was AJ. My last name was of the earth. Do you understand that? AJ's nature. So AJ of the earth. God adopts me and says, hey, you use your faith. We'll sign these papers. You become my son once and for all. Now you become AJ of God. And you want to see an example of that? Abraham from Abraham. Sarah, right? Jacob gets his name changed. Name change. Bruce is now Bruce, last name of God. Done. But now, how does Bruce of God act like his family? How does he bring heaven to earth, right? Right? This is good. I do. I really like this, guys. What does he say it's supposed to look like, your life? What does God say your life is supposed to look like now that you're Donna of God? Because here's the thing, and I'm going to do this hand motion the whole time. This was early. This is the way everybody else does it, Brian. This is just what you get, okay? Your best efforts holding together your marriage, finances, and all that. But then you get adopted, and all of a sudden you have all these different options where God says, this over here is true and real. This is not. Okay? Are we getting that? So walking in God's promises, Mark, is... You've got this old way of doing things, this way everybody else that's driving by does things, but then you've got this new because you're you now. So what is it, Father? What is my life supposed to look like now that I'm not me anymore? And he says, let me show you a few things. And you've got to bend your will, that same thing that helped save you, that one little piece you had to do, bend your will to start looking over here and believing that this is truth and not what you see and not what you feel. And then you'll start walking in promises by faith, by faith, by faith, yes. So, okay, let's get right to it. James McDonald says this. When you're looking for promises, you're going to learn how to learn. When you're looking for promises in the Bible, there are going to be certain promises that were just for Samson. Okay? Certain promises that were just for Gideon. It's true. You don't want the ones he promised Samson, guys. Okay? Those were one-shot deals. How do I know what promises are for me and not? This is a great question because, Denise, you know what the enemy does? That wasn't for you. When I say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, the enemy will go, oh no, he was talking to so-and-so. Anybody ever experienced that? And what is that? What happens? Then you derail. That's not for me. You're right. I can't say over my daughter, you're healthy in the name of Jesus Christ, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because that was just for Gideon. Well, there's how we're going to do this and disarm the enemy. Ready? The whole counsel of God. When you see something occur over and over and over again, that becomes a universal truth. It is a promise for you. Okay? So let's look at one, shall we? The whole counsel of God, not just one spot. Joshua, Old Testament, right? Warrior. Have I not commanded you, says God. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, terrified, scared. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's in Joshua. Let's pair that with the next one, please. Deuteronomy says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. There's two. Let's do another one. Let's try the New Testament. Come on, New Testament. Oh, Matthew saves us. Yes, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, says the King himself, Jesus. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Also, by the way, guys, saying that proves to you that Jesus is calling himself God. He would never say baptize in the name of, if he didn't know and want you to know he was God, God, Gody, God, God, he would never have said Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're all equal. Anyway, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, because that's how you walk in Makarios, but anyway. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So promise number one is, despite the fact that you feel alone in your struggle, your confusion, your doubt, your fear, where you're stuck, you just saw that that's not true. That's of earth thinking. That's not true anymore. That's where you say amen. Amen. Yeah, there we go. Good. That says I'm starting to believe that. Because over here, I always walk alone. And I'm trying to hold this marriage together, and I just can't meet her needs, and I just can't be the person they need me to be, and I can't seem to get out of this situation. But that's not true, though. True is the promise that you have me in the room with you, says Lord God. And if you need to go back and look at quantum physics and realize that there are 10 dimensions, we occupy 3. So he's actually nearer to you than you can perceive, but because he's extra dimensional. If you want to go do that, do that. Absolutely. I won't do that again. Or we could just take it, this new of God thinking, and realize never once did we ever walk alone. You guys love that song because it's true, man. Father, what school do I go to? What job do I take? Old you used to think you got to figure it out with your little brain. Or, right? How do I run my finances? Where do I take a job? Where do I live? I better figure it out. But new you, God says, but I'm actually with you. I'm never going to leave you or break a relationship with you. I can see tomorrow. That's common sense. He's not bound by time. So why don't we partner together and do this? Promise number one that you can receive is you're not alone in your struggle, your pain, your heartache, or even your good days. Do you know how that could change things? See, it's changed everything for me. I'll tell you, I was in college, and this is stupid because that's me. I was in college. I went to an unfamiliar dorm, and I was riding an elevator. I don't like elevators much. You know what I'm saying? I'll take the stairs. Just one little thing, and boom, it's over. I'm not a fan. I'm just not. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not. So anyway, I was in the elevator by myself, and I get weird when I'm by myself. Brittany knows that. We both get weird together when we're by ourselves. So I'm just doing weird stuff, like kung fu fighting or something by myself. And I stopped for a second and realized, I'm not actually alone. You see what I'm... He sees me, Donna. I feel like I'm alone. I'm never alone. Do you want to hear what Alex said this very morning? Thank you, Alex, for this beautiful illustration. So we're waking up. I did not want to wake up this morning. It was hot in my room. It's just a mess. It's too early for the air conditioners, those guys, isn't it? But 78 would beg to differ. Been up since 5:30 because of it. Just stuck to the bed. Anyway, doesn't help that there's a bunk in front of us. So it just keeps the heat in. It's like putting the top on a frying pan. Anyway, this is my business. But so I said, what did I say? He says, are you going to play the games at the picnic today? He's excited about the picnic. We got to invent some cool games for the kids, by the way, even if it's like ring toss with styrofoam or something. Just something for the kids, because I feel guilty. He goes, you going to play games? And I says, I don't know, buddy. I'll see what I can do, you know. And he says, are you going to play with us, or are you going to play by yourself with Jesus? To him, he doesn't say alone, because he doesn't perceive alone. If daddy's in the room, I'm with Jesus. Can you imagine this? Why did it take me 30-something years to understand this? I could learn from my 4-year-old. But wouldn't that change life when you're feeling lonely in your living room? And that's the lie. You can't be lonely anymore. There's no such thing. You can miss human contact, want to talk to people, and maybe chat on Facebook, but you can't be alone. That's a lie. Truth is, I'm right here with you. If you talk to me, I hear you. And you know, for some of us who feel like nobody notices, he sees you. He sees you and you matter. Oh, that's pithy. No, that could change a life. Could absolutely change a life to know that. I felt overlooked my whole life. Well, he says, you're not overlooked. You're mine now. You're sitting at my table. This is the new way of doing things. So I don't want to jump all this sort of stuff, but this is a promise for all believers, you guys. It's a foundational one. It's a truth, a fact about living as this new of God person. And so here's the thing about promises. Ready? If I make a promise to Bill, what I'm actually saying is, I'll try my best. I'm a human being. I made promises to my wife. I'll try my best. We'll see how it goes. That's a promise in humanville. Let me explain something about these promises we're talking about today. When God makes a promise, let me give you some common sense. He's at the beginning of time because he created it. And he's also at the end of time at the same time. So when he makes a promise, Brenda, it has already happened. Do you understand that? I promise you, AJ, that you look good in red polos. That already happened when he says that. It's not a, I'll try, Shainer. I'll try to be with you, or this next promise we look at. Any of the promises you're going to discover this week that can change your life and get you off the hamster wheel, they're not, maybe. They're, no, I'm already at the end. I'm at the finish line. I just told you what happened during the race. Does that make sense? How definite can this be? Is that definite, guys? It's done. So there's also another one in here. Let's go back to the first slide. I'm just going to teach real quick about this because this changed me, Mark. This changed my life, I promise. because of the reality that I'm never alone, there is a byproduct of it, and it's this. Do not be afraid. No matter what you're facing, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid because I'm with you. So here's what it did to me. I'm telling you about this, you guys. Now I'm AJ of God, who is always in God's earshot and always heard, seen by God. Guess what happens now? Ready for my story? I get to actually live my life recklessly responsible. What I mean is this. See that beautiful motorcycle out there? This idiot jumped on a motorcycle and taught himself how to ride it. Oh, I'm good at it. Don't judge me, people. But listen, by knowing God's with me, it kept me from irrational fear that helped me enjoy my life to the fullest. You're not getting this, okay? Because you don't relate to the motorcycle thing, maybe. I taught myself how to use nunchucks. There's a good one, too. I taught myself how to cut trees with chainsaws responsibly. But you know what? I don't have fear. Fear doesn't paralyze me anymore because I look over and go, oh, you're with me? Cool. You're going to guide me and keep me from stupid. So therefore, I don't fear. Now, granted, I still wear the protective equipment. I see lots of dudes don't wear. I'm doing one-on-one instruction with a teacher responsible. But fear does not guide my decisions. I'm not afraid. So now I'm free to enjoy my life. You all understand bucket list things, right? Oh, geez, I'd really like to go skydiving, but there's this monster between me and that. And it's called fear. You of God, you don't have to have that fear anymore. In fact, he's telling and commanding, there's no more fear. Do you understand? How about fear of opening up to a person because you got blasted that last time? How about fear of, if I take this job, Amy, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to look like a fool. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So this promise immediately affects the way you live life as Brittany of God. Because if I'm right next to you, what else do you need? Let's before I move to my next point, because I got a real hard point to give you today. This is all preamble. Really think about this. I've showed you one promise. But Bruce, if the Lord Jesus, who conquered death and has all power, is actually with you at all time, what do you really need? Do you need any more promises, really? Because he's right there, really. Because if he's with you, he's obviously going to provide for you. If he's with you, you shall not fear. If he's, right? This one promise should just break fear off of you, condemnation off of you. I'm with you, you're seen, I love you, let's do this. Let's do this thing, let's do life. For every believer out there, that's what this promise is. So don't fear, instead pray, meditate, live in knowledge that I'm with you, wherever you may be. And this has totally, like I say, changed my life. Let's move on to my next point, guys. I hope you understand this. Walking in these promises is saying inside of your... Who chooses what you think about? Yeah. Who chooses what you believe? Okay, so even... Let's not even get into who you think you are and who people have called you. We're not even going to do that today, but if you choose what you think about, you're given two options. What you feel... in what God says. So now you're free, right? Because of this promise to say, I feel afraid. I feel alone. I feel... And you're free to say, no, the truth is. What did Jesus say? I'm the way, I am the truth and the life. Stop saying he's not. Stop living like he's not. You're not alone because he said it. Okay? Now we got a more difficult one. I'm going to turn the heat up a little bit as we get ready to cook the meat. Here's a promise. Another promise. You'll be taken care of. Please. Oh, yeah, we got to jump ahead, don't we? Oh, okay. You know what? No. Let me just do this. This is an instruction, okay? There's a part to play in this, walking in God's promises. We demolish the arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Pause. Are there kids in the room? Yes, there are. You take all the mess that's not real, that's not true, and says, that can't be true. What God says can't be true. And you demolish it violently. You're a loser. Demolish violently, right? You can't do this. You can't be more than your mom or dad. You can't keep me, blah, 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 blah. You are alone. You take these arguments that are trying to argue against these promises and you crush them by choice. You crush them. And you take captive every thought. Get over here. I control you. You don't control me. Right? If I've got the prisoner captive, he's under my power. You take those thoughts that try to war against these promises and you actively make it obedient to Christ. This is the answer. I've spent the last, 15 minutes. This is the answer right here. If you'll take the untruths that Maria of the world used to believe and then she went wherever those led, if you take those and go, get over here. You listen to me now. that God says, and you make it obedient to Christ, this is how you start to walk in the promises of God. You understand it? God gives you the promises and says, here's the way of doing things. Do you want to walk in them? And you have free will. That same free will that led you to salvation, that same free will needs to be used to lead you into promises. Does that make sense? And that's the answer. Why do so many people seem to just be unchanged? That's why. You used your free will to get to step one, but you never kept going. Grab the things that are lying to you, make them obedient to Christ. And the way you do that, we're going to get to in a second. We'll get to that in a second. I'm going to look at another promise first. We're going to be taken care of. Next one. We have a part to play in this as well. Don't worry. Stop. Oh my gosh. There's somebody out there that can help me stop worrying? I'm listening because nobody else says to me, AJ, stop worrying and here's why. Instead, I lay in my bed. 5:30 in the morning, waking up, sweating like a sick dog, worrying about something, right? But Jesus says, okay, AJ of the earth, here's your old way. You have a choice. Do not worry. What shall we eat? He just told us a long thing, but Jesus himself is recapping. What shall we eat? Because I'm hungry. What shall we drink? Because I need it or I'll die. And what shall we wear? In other words, all the material things that old you used to look toward for guidance, he says, don't do that. Because people who care nothing about the spirit and are just held captive of lies, they run after these things. Don't do it anymore. You want to walk in promise, do this. Understand there's a promise. God knows what you need. God knows you need these things. And he also knows when you really need them. Oh, that's good teaching. I'm going to hang out there for a second. But God, I want it. I want it now. No, God knows what you need and when you need them. God is often referred to as an archer, and he lets arrows fly. Here's what's cool about a good archer. You shoot that arrow too soon, you don't hit that deer, do you? You shoot it too late, you don't hit that deer either, do you? God is the perfect archer. Someone who's going, I want a spouse. Not today, honey. Today, you still got to work on you. He'll let you know when you're, oh, Bill. Sorry. You get what I'm saying, right? I want this, I want that. The Father knows what you need. He knows when to give it to you. Just do this instead. Ready? Just seek first what his kingdom is like. Kind of like what you're learning about right now, how the kingdom principles work. Taking an hour on a Sunday is seeking the kingdom. Because this guy, he gave me some abilities to teach you about the kingdom. Seek first, go back. And it's righteousness, which just simply means right standing with me, which we have through it. And all these things that everybody else chases, it's counterintuitive. If you open your hand, I'll put it in there. Or you can choose to live of the earth and sweat and toil by your brow and never get to where you want to be. Or you can actually walk by faith into these promises and understand that. And so when you're tempted to go, oh, how am I going to pay that? I got to keep focused on God. Do I take that? I'm going to keep focused on God. That's all he's saying. And you either walk in it or you don't. But they end in completely different places. Amen? So I want to show you this because I am not some punk who's not going to talk about this. As we end this, I want to show you the full counsel of God. That we can, everything we need will be provided by God. Okay? Let's even go into the Old Testament. Or whatever's next. That's fine. Malachi is an Old Testament prophet because when you're looking for promises, guys, it's got to be all through the Bible. This could not be more clear when you pair it with what the king just said. Malachi, again, an offer you can't refuse. Get it? Funny. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That's a command from God. Test me in this. We won't go into that today. It's the only time he says that. Says the Lord Almighty. And see if I, the byproduct of walking in this new promise is this. I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. We have no idea what that even means. And I'll pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it. Old way of doing things. Why can't I get ahead? I'm stuck on this treadmill. Or new of God way things work. Dad, since you adopted me, what do you want me to do about like money? Well, how about this? Don't ever let money have you and you can have money. Oh, good. Throws it on the ground. Yeah, I want you to have stuff, AJ, but dear God, if it has you, I can't let you have it. Rich man walks up to Jesus. Jesus, what do I have to do to get the kingdom of God? He goes, you, homie? He didn't say homie. Sorry. I get fired up. He says, you, bro? You? You got to get rid of all that stuff that's got you, then come back to me and serve me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can have, God wants, I want Alex to have everything. I want him to have everything he wants, personally. I know I can't do that because they call, when you spoil a kid, it's like spoiling fruit. It goes rotten. God the Father says this. You can have, but it can't have you. So here's what you do. I'm going to put a system in place. If you will give back to me 1/10 of everything you've gotten, I'll bless the other 90 above on what you can imagine. But how does that work, God? Because I'm told to grab and keep and save and squirrel and squirrel. And God goes, cool, then you'll always have what you've had. And you'll be stuck on that, like everybody else. And in fact, there's another rule in the Bible. It says this, wealth will grow wings and fly away. Right? Guys, come on, it's in the Old Testament. Wealth will grow wings and fly away. If you don't believe me, look at the economy of America or any other empire. It happens. But God says there's a different way, O-A-J of God. This is how our family does things. This is how the kingdom does things. And writing that check out, whatever it may be, and I don't care about church, I don't want your money. I'm giving you a promise to break free from everything your mom and dad, grandpa always did. Every time you write that out, guess what? You're letting go of that to take care of you, and you're trusting me to take care of you. And all I'm asking you for is 1/10. God has every right to ask you for 9/10. Do you know that? Oh, by the way, that's a lie. 10/10. It's all his, man. Does he need your money? No, everything is his. This is how you walk in that promise. Oh, ready? And if you start doing this, he just gave you the right that if nothing changes in your life, and I don't mean in a week, to turn and go, but you said, test me in this. Do you understand? Do you see that? So if I'm 6 months of doing this, and it's hard. Well, let me tell you about when I first started to do this, and then we'll move on to my really hard point. This is not the hard point.
It's not.
I heard this. Joyce Meyer was talking about it. Someone else when I was living in England. I was a musician, and I was sleeping on people's couches. And I heard her say this, and I chose to believe it. I didn't have a penny. I was teaching guitar lessons to kids and blind people for money and slinging drinks at a bar. And I heard her say this about the tithe, and I was like, oh, man, that smells like truth. And so I got up. I walked to the nearest church. I did not attend. I stuck it through their mail slot and wrote a tithe on it, and I couldn't buy a pack of cigarettes that day. It was my last money. And I've done it ever since. And when I had need, guess what I was able to do? I'm actually doing things your way. So you got to do something. And God says, you gotta? I said, yeah, because you told me to test you in this. I can come boldly to you and say, we really want that house. But we didn't sell our other house. But God, you said, and he said, you're right. Ooh, ooh, challenging me to be faithful? Ooh. Come on, that's a God joke. Yes, Bruce got it. Because we're doing this, I have the right to say to you, Father, you said, do you understand? But that's the AJ of God talking to you. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, and this is my heart for today. That stuff was cool. Go find the promises of God, and I'm going to teach you. Go to Dr. Google and say, what does God say about God give you promises about fertility, about marriage, about finances. It gives you promises about all things. So it's true, and maybe you can line your thinking over to it, right? And it'll lead to a different spot, and it's called life and life abundantly. Stop. I want to warn you, because I'm being responsible. There is actually something that you can have inside of you that will block everything I just said. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you the truth. And I want to address it today, here and now. Sometimes people say to me, but I'm this, 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 and there's just one thing. This thing I'm about to talk to you about is a boulder that will get hit in that river, and you'll start wondering why. How do I walk these promises out before I get to this hard thing? You read it, you figure it out, you get it deep inside of you, then you use your tongue to speak it out before I move on. That's what you do. You get your tongue to agree with your mind. You get your mind to agree with the Word of God. You get your mind to agree with the Word of God. You get your tongue to agree with your mind, and that's it. And you'll start seeing change. Go back a couple weeks ago. The power of your thoughts, the power of your words, the power of life and death is in the tongue, right, Britt? But you only say the things you believe. I'm wearing a blue shirt. I wouldn't say that. I don't believe it. It's not true. But if I say I'm wonderfully and fearfully made, I'll start believing that. The lie is that I'm a loser. I'm wonderful. Okay, so you get in the Word. You find the promise. You start speaking it out. Boom. What will block this? I'm sorry, I almost lost that part. What will block this is this. Holding on to anger or disappointment toward God will act as a barrier in this flow of receiving from Him. This is what I have learned in the last 7 years in counseling. We used to do an RTF ministry. I first was an RTF, ministry. You know what I mean? The guy who got ministered to. I don't know what the word is. And but then I've ever since then, this is the most powerful, impacting, life-changing. Can I get an amen from that corner of the room over there? Other people have gone through that. Other people, you don't need to say it, but impact. But you know what is usually really breakthrough is this right here. Holding on to anger, disappointment toward God will block all of this. It's like when that back tire gets stuck in sand. It's just not going to work. So let's explore this and let's go. On earth as it is in heaven, this can be tender, and I want to just lay it out. I lay it out factually. I've shared about putting God in prison, and I did it in a very tender way. Do you remember? I said, I understand some things in this life seem unforgivable. It's really hard. Me too. When I found my father dead, blah, blah, blah. I understand that, but please, nobody's judging you. You've done this. I understand, but please let God out of prison. Because every time you put God in prison, the next thing you do is just sit down and you stop walking. You stop growing, you stop trusting and all that. And I said, please let God out of prison. I did that. I did the really compassionate one because this is tough stuff. But now I just need to lay it out factually because I'm running out of time, okay? I know. You babbled, AJ. You reap what you sow. Okay, so... all right, ready? Okay. When we live with disappointment, it's easy to turn to God and put a finger in his chest and say this, you're not doing your job. You didn't take care of me. Where were you? You didn't do it. You didn't do what you're supposed to be doing. And so very lovingly today, I want to tell you this though. On earth as it is in heaven cannot take place if this is present. They cannot both exist. It can. Okay, I'll prove you. Okay. If anyone feels that God has hurt, betrayed, or abandoned them in their time of need, what happens is we hold on to that. And it creates a horribly powerful belief, which is the power you possess, belief that God doesn't care, doesn't want what's good for me, or isn't able. Right? If you do that, he let me down. This is just my story. I thought for sure Dad was going to come through chemo and radiation and live. I did. And God even spoke to my heart when I was journaling one time and said, your father's going to be okay. So you know what it did when I held on to that disappointment and anger toward God? It made a belief that I couldn't trust him, that he didn't care and he wasn't involved in my life. So that's what I started to believe. That's what I started to then say, and that's what I started to then reap. And God went far, far, far away from me. Did he withdraw? Probably not, but I did. That's what happens when we have anger and disappointment toward God. And then we cry out and go, God, why are you so distant? Why am I not walking in blessing? And it's like, well, that's why. That thought that you then entertain, if you don't purge this stuff out, it's going to hinder your expectation of receiving anything good from God. Absolutely. And particularly healing. And this is what I'm talking, deliverance, all that sort of stuff will not happen if there's a lack of trust in God. It's true. And it blocks us from hearing God's voice. And ultimately, if left undealt with, it puts a stranglehold on the whole relationship. So let's look at a chart, shall we? Because you believe much more of what you see. The picture, which is not coming up. Okay, so if I take in the belief that God doesn't care and that God can't take care of me, what will happen is I won't expect him to take care of me. There you go. If I form the belief that God cannot be trusted, that he is not good, he will not take care of me, it will influence my expectation because I will never expect him to take care of me. I will not live out of that promise, right? So I won't go to him, the behavior. I won't go to him. I won't speak those promises out. I won't go anywhere near him, in fact. And then what will happen because I'm distant from him is the results will be I'm not taken care of. And I go, he is not good. He cannot be trusted. I cannot go to him. And the cycle goes and goes and goes. And then you ask me the question that started the whole thing. Why do some people live in blessing and some people don't? This one thing is a tool. It's a rocket launcher that the enemy uses to get you off the path of blessing. You see, AJ, he didn't take care of your dad. Would a good God really let your dad pass when you're 25 and he's all you have? He must not be good. So I stop expecting him to be good in my life. I definitely stop speaking promises out. And then sure enough, I'm all alone. Because I walked away. And people sit across from my office and go, my life has been terrible for 10 years. What is it back there that you still got? That anger and resentment toward God because things didn't go the way you wanted them to. When we lost the two pregnancies, same thing. I was so tempted to maybe stop that whole thing and not have a family because obviously God doesn't care about me having a family. Twice, three babies. And so I'm not going to go to him with that. I'm sure as heck not going to kneel by her bedside like I did and speak the word of God over her for 9.5 months. Did I not, babe? I did, didn't I? We did together. I certainly would have done that. And then, oh, another one. And then what you see is a broken, beat-up AJ who wastes and starts living back as an Earthborn AJ. And Earthborns get what Earthborns get. Certainly not happy, healthy children, blessed by God. See? Okay, so let's do it. You're convinced, right? About the anger and disappointment toward God? We can all do it. Life hurts sometimes. It leaves you bruised and scarred. I've said it before. A wound has to become a scar to be helpful. If it stays a wound, it just drains from you. I've had to take burns that didn't heal properly and open them right back up again to get them to heal properly. God uses scars. He cannot use wounds. So this one here, guys, we got to do this. Here are some questions you may hear if this is kicking around in inside of you. Where were you, God? If you love me so much, why didn't you intervene? Why did I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through this? Why is this going on so long? Why don't you answer my prayers? Why are you so far away, so hidden, right? If you can relate to any of those, please be strong and courageous. Holy Spirit, give us strength to walk through what I'm about to walk through, because we're going to stop it today. We're going to cut it out today. And a big old bulldozer, the Spirit's going to pull that boulder out of that river, and the presence of God's going to be able to flow again. Yeah, so let's do it. Let's do it. Be brave. Here's what we can choose to do. We can choose to get real with God about our feelings. He can handle it, and he commands us to do it. I'm not going to show you, but Psalm 142 calls it pouring out our complaint. Some of us have a religious attitude, which think we cannot show emotion toward God. We cannot feel what we feel toward God. But here's the problem. You feel it, man. Right? I can't feel that way, but you do. But I can't, but I do. But I can't, but I do. No. Religion would tell you that. What did I say last week? Jesus never told you, stop running. No running. Jesus never said, comb your hair before you come to me. No, that was Pastor so-and-so. That was Grandma. Jesus always said, come to me. Just come to me. That's it. He didn't say, iron your tie or whatever it is, right? No, he didn't. He said, just come to me. Jesus can handle the fact that you're feeling anger about the situation, disappointment, and hurt. He can handle it. But you can't. And if you're holding on to it, it's destroying you. Give it to him. He's not going to smite you, I promise. I've even said bad words in my anger toward God, and no lightning bolts came. I poured it out for real. You look, though, don't you? Turn to the left a little bit. He's got good aim, wherever you are. Anyway, so Psalm 142 says this. Don't be afraid, guys. God commands us not to stuff or to store negative emotions. Ephesians 4:26 says that he is a safe place to pour out to, I think. We're done with slides, right? Okay. I want to again state that holding these emotions will block healing and hearing from God, and I do believe it blocks blessings as well. This needs to be acknowledged inside of yourself, step one. Number two, it needs to be released, and then breakthrough can follow. I got to tell you one more thing. I got to tell you. That all was tough, but when I got into my counseling, which is what you're in right now, you're on the couch, okay, learning this material I never would have known. They had a thing, one of the questionnaires to go into it was something about, like, I can trust God because... And I couldn't answer it. I couldn't. I didn't. I look back at it and I can't trust God. That hurt to say. But inside of myself, I think God gave me the strength to realize, like, I don't trust God. That hurts. That was a terrible time. But guess what? That's right what I needed to get to. So you see, I had pursued something my whole life. I had pursued music my whole life. It took me far, far away, near and far. And I really felt like he was calling me to it, and blah, 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 and it just never happened. And hope deferred makes a heart sick. When you hope for something so long and it doesn't happen, it makes you sick. It does. I think it can even make you physically sick. And so here's what I realized. Step after step after step, I got to a place where I looked around and went, I have to confess and admit I don't trust God. I might trust him for you. And I can tell you, Krista, he's good to you. But not for me. Anyone ever been there? Right. Number one, acknowledge it inside of yourself in this very moment, listening online too. Number two, we're about to acknowledge it to God, and we're about to say, I don't want this anymore. I want to go from earthborn thinking that you're just one of many options, that you can't take care of me, that you'll always let me down, whatever it is that these fickle humans think about our Creator Dad. I'm gonna stop that. Despite what I felt back then and where I'm at now, I'm gonna choose to believe your promises that you're good. Oh, you sang that today, didn't you? You are good, good. I could actually say it and mean it today. My arms just kind of went up because I truly believe that now. But in order to be found, I had to admit that I was lost. I had to admit that I didn't trust him back then. 26-year-old AJ had to say, right here, right now, I don't trust you. Help me with my disbelief, says somebody in the Bible. And then what happens? He does, right? I want that for me. You ever feel that? My mom said that. I'll pick on her for a second. She's not here today. She went to church with me for the first time, like 7 or so years ago. Never had gone to church. Wanted nothing to do with God the whole time. She'll tell you this. You don't mind. But you know what she said? She said, the people at the church really seem passionate about that. I want that. I want that. And when you see someone worshiping, you can look at them and go, I want that. I do. AJ believes that, man. Brittany believes that. You are good. You're so good. I know it's not the words, but you're so... I want that. Can you admit, though, in order to get it, you got to say, I don't have it now? Right? So this is what we're going to do, guys. Anybody who wants to do this, I need to call one last thing out. Holding on to this, I'm going to call it straight because God trusts me and so do you, is sinful. It is sin to hold on anger and disappointment toward God. I want to say I'm sorry, but I can't. Sin is anything that's outside of God's boundaries. And God says you're not allowed to hold on to this stuff. He actually says, don't let your anger go on. You've got till nighttime, essentially. He says, get rid of anger. Get rid of that. Be unoffendable. I'm reading it. Love it. I'm reading it. You don't get to hold on to it. So when you do, it's sin. So you know what you do with sin? You confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. So this is how serious this is. We're going to do this thing right now. It's offensive to God and it's not okay. We got to get there today. We got to clean the wound so we can get healed. So anybody who... We're going to walk through a prayer. Prayers don't save you. Jesus does. But I'm going to pray this prayer. And if this is you, I'm going to take my time. And if this is you, this is your time. You acknowledge that you've done this. I've had anger towards you. I need to forgive you, God. We're going to walk through this prayer as a family together. And then we're going to sing a song that says, I will walk by faith. And what we're about to do is called repentance. Change direction, acknowledge wrongdoing, and just walk the other way. Heads down, eyes closed, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a family, but we come to you as individuals as well. And we choose with our free will right now to say this. We've misjudged you. I've blamed you for things you did not do. I choose today to stop doing this. I ask you to forgive me for my sin against you. And I know and affirm by my free will that you are a good God and that you do want what's best for me. And you want to conform me into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I choose today to agree with you that you are in charge of my life and that everything that happens to me is for my development and maturing into a son or daughter that's able to rule and reign with you in eternity. I will put the blame where it truly belongs, on myself, the situation, and on the enemy. I'll stop being a blame shifter. And I'll be responsible for my own life under the guidance and control of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the freedom today and renewed relationship with you. I declare you are good. You are good. I love you. I choose to love you. And I receive both of these things, all of these things, in the name of Jesus Christ. And together we agree and say, amen. Let's sing that song and declare that we're going to walk by faith.
Will I believe you when you say your hand will guide my every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment of every day? Yes, I will walk by faith even when I cannot see. Yes, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Help me to rid my endless fears. been so faithful for all my years. With the one breath you make me new. Your grace covers all I do. Yes, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Let's sing that again. Yes, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Yeah, because this broken road prepares your will for me. But I'm broken and I still see your face. And you've spoken, we're pouring your words of grace. So I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Yes, because this broken road prepares your will for me.
Let's worship with hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's keep going, hallelujah.
Well, I will walk by faith. I will walk by
thank you that even though, Father God, it is directed right toward you, the offense we talked about today, we thank you that you choose to forgive us. We're eager and excited for a new day, Father God, where you and I are able to communicate freely with no blockage, no resentment. Help us to trust you, Lord God. Help our unbelief. Help us to each and every person in here be able to raise our arms and say, you are good. You are so good. But we do acknowledge that right now, some of us are not there. But today is a new day. We thank you, Father. Help us to keep you out of prison, Lord God, and to walk by faith and to receive you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name, we love you and worship you. And we sing,
I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see.
I'm choosing.
Yeah, because this broken road,
even when I don't understand,
prepares your will for me.
We love you, Father. Your promises are true. In the name of Jesus, we praise and worship. Amen. All right, let's eat some food, guys.